Friend, you can willingly bow now before the Lord, motivated by His love, His graciousness and forgiveness, His giving His life for you. You can bow before Him and receive forgiveness of sins. You can bow in the context of love, grace, mercy, and kindness. Or you can bow in the midst of His holy judgment and righteousness forever.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Daniel from Alaska. He says, thank you for the work you do. I love hearing Greg's teaching. He is right on. Thank you, and God bless you. Well, Daniel, you are so welcome, and we are so thankful for listeners such as yourself who let us know how much they appreciate the ministry. It's such an encouragement to us to hear what God is doing through His Word, so thank you.
Greg, today you continue your look at the name of Jesus, and for those who may have missed our last broadcast, give us a brief overview of what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in Philippians chapter 2.
Dave, our passage today is Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, and the Apostle Paul is telling us about the name that God gave Jesus when He exalted Him. Now, the key point that we made in the last broadcast is that Paul is not referring to the name Jesus. That's not the name God bestowed upon him in His exaltation, but rather it is the name Lord. That's the same name we see in the Old Testament for the great I Am. And today we're going to see specifically why this name is so important for our understanding of who Jesus Christ is and how we worship and honor Him. Far more than just another name, the name of the Lord carries with it tremendous power and authority, and we'll see why in today's program.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Jesus Christ is Lord. The knee bows to His name. He's Lord. The tongue confesses He's Lord. I believe that's what it's saying, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Christ was given the name Jesus in the incarnation, but declared to be the Lord at His exaltation, the name above all names. One pastor writes, God not only exalted Him, but more specifically, He gave Him the name that is above every other name. The term gave means graciously given, and the reference to the name serves not only to function to identify Jesus, but also something about Him. It is the name of the Lord that was given to Him. Therefore, Jesus enters into ruling functions as God, the name and all that goes with it, and it was not acquired with selfish ambition, but lowly submission. Turn to Acts chapter 2, and we see this in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. See, we're going to see that every knee is going to bow to Jesus the Lord. Every knee is going to bow to, or every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the point, that He's the Lord. Because people give Jesus the name right now and they say, okay, Jesus, who cares? They don't see Him as Lord. Acts 2:32. This Jesus God raised up, and I can't read the whole thing. I wish I could. For time's sake, you can read back. This Jesus, Acts 2:32, God raised up again, Peter says, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been, what? Exalted to the right hand of God. That's what we're seeing, right? And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, which He poured forth, this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but He Himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until my enemies make a footstool for thy feet. Therefore, let all the houses of Israel know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He was always the Lord and Christ, but when He took on His humility, He did not appear that way. He didn't have it as something to be grasped. He was seen as a man, the God-man. And when He was exalted, the Lord has made Him. Not that He wasn't. He has declared that He is both Lord and Christ. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Christ. So you might be saying, well, what's the big deal about this term Lord? Well, the term Lord comes from the Greek word kurios, and that same word used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament corresponds to the Hebrew word Yahweh. Now, Yahweh has been transliterated Jehovah, and that's where we see it. But Yahweh is simply the verb to be, and it's the first person in the present tense, I am. That's what the term Lord means, I am. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. This is when Moses is wanting to tell the sons of Israel, what am I going to tell them your name is? When he's talking to the Lord at the burning bush. Exodus 3 verse 13. Then Moses said to who? To God. Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel and shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Yahweh, that's the word Yahweh. And he said to you, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. The reality is the term Lord speaks of deity. It speaks of God. It speaks of the sovereign privileges of God alone, the Lord of the universe. And Jesus Christ is Lord. He was exalted. Because of his humility, he was exalted, highly exalted, and he was given the name which was above all names, that the name he possesses, that Jesus, this lowly which we saw coming in human flesh and rose from the dead, which he possesses, which is Lord. And as we will see, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. You know, sometimes we can make the mistake of seeing Jesus only as he was during his humility. You know, and we can learn much from the Gospels about his character. We see God in human flesh. But the reality is he had humbled himself. And he is now super exalted back to his rightful place as Lord at the right hand of the Father. And we need to recognize that. We see it, as I mentioned earlier in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty would become rich. John chapter 17, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he's praying and he's talking to the Father, and he says this in John chapter 17, verse 5. And now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory with which we had before the world was. Super exalt me back to where I was in the place of sovereign reign as the God of the universe. You see, he humbled himself. He didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. And after he died, God then super highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name. Now we're going to see the purposes for that in our passage. There are actually two purposes. Look here in verse 9, and we'll read through verse 10. Therefore God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. He was super exalted and given the name that's above every name so that two things would happen. Every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We see this here. Turn to Isaiah chapter 45. Here the Apostle Paul is quoting this passage in Isaiah 45. Tremendous passage. In context, God is comparing these lifeless idols to himself. They're nothing. And look what Isaiah says here, inspired by the Spirit. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness, and will not turn back. Look at this. That to me every knee will bow, and every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me only, in the Lord our righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and all who are angry at him shall be put to shame. In the Lord all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory. Paul quotes this passage that every knee will bow and everyone will give allegiance to God. And in our passage it's saying everyone will bow their knee and give allegiance to Jesus Christ, the Lord. He is God.
Now notice the purpose of it. First of all, that every knee should bow. You have this clause here. It's a henna clause, and it gives purpose. That, you'll see that, or in order that. That every knee should bow. He has been super exalted and given the name above all names. That, for this reason, first, that every knee will bow. Paul is clearly saying, quoting Isaiah 45, that Jesus, the Lord God, is the Lord God, and eventually everyone will bow their knee before him. And he's not saying that everyone will be saved, because we know from Scripture not everyone is saved. So what does he mean by bowing a knee? The term bowing a knee means to pay homage, to bow to one's God. It is a humiliation in a sense. It is a bowing one's knee before God. And first of all, we see that every knee will bow. Now, as we look at this, we're going to see that there are those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. And some might say when he says every knee, it speaks of every created thing. Well, we know every created thing is going to give him glory. We know that. But here, I believe in light of Isaiah chapter 45, he's speaking of those who actually would have knees, those who would actually bow. He's speaking of humanity, that every human being ever created is going to bow to Jesus, every single one. And he's going to give a location to where each one could be. Every knee will bow. That at the name of Jesus, back in Isaiah, it's speaking of people, that everyone would confess him, every knee would bow. Jesus has been super exalted and given the name above names so that every knee would eventually bow. And notice we have three categories. First of all, who are going to bow? Those who are in heaven, or literally the heavenlies. If it's speaking of just simply men, it's speaking of believers in heaven, because there's not non-believers in heaven. I'll tell you right now. It's those who have passed away and they are in Christ, they are in heaven. Old Testament and New Testament saints. And it could be those in heaven at that time. And you say, well, wait a second. Why would believers bow their knee? They already do bow their knee, don't they? Well, as in Romans chapter 14, turn there. We're all going to bow our knees again. But we're going to do it voluntarily, willingly, and for his glory. Romans chapter 14. Paul is telling the weaker brethren in the church not to judge, and the stronger brethren in the faith to not look down with contempt. And he says this. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all, this is speaking to believers, by the way, all stand before the judgment seat. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. When we die, we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to bow our knee before him at the judgment seat. We're going to give an account as believers. What we do in this life does matter. If you trust in the Lord, there's eternal reward. You don't trust him, there's loss. Yet our sins are forgiven. But notice back in our passage, it's also those who are on the earth, or literally the earthlies. I believe that speaks of every person who's alive at that time, or maybe now, or whenever, when Christ comes. But there's the three locations that human beings can be. There's only three right now. In the heavenlies, on earth, alive, or under the earth. What does this term under the earth speak of? I believe it's speaking of the place of the unrighteous dead being held in punishment, awaiting judgment, awaiting the second death. Luke 16, we see a place called Hades. It's under the earth we see. The sad truth is that all who rejected Christ, who refused to bow to him during this life, will for eternity, in eternal punishment, bow to him, and there will be no chance for redemption. One pastor says it this way, wouldn't it be horrible to spend your life rebelling against Jesus Christ only to spend all eternity in torment, bowing your knees to him anyway? One thing for sure, there will be no rebellion in hell. All will submit to Jesus Christ. Everyone will then know that he is the only Savior and Lord. But for those who did not trust him in this life, it'll be too late. And still for all eternity in hell, they will suffer eternal condemnation. They will pay homage and give him glory. Every knee is going to bow to Jesus Christ. Every knee. Because he's the Lord. Every knee will bow. God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name, so that every knee will bow. Friend, you can willingly bow now before the Lord, motivated by his love, his graciousness and forgiveness. He's giving his life for you. You can bow before him and receive forgiveness of sins. You can't enter the kingdom unless you humble yourself like a child. Humble yourself and bow before Jesus. believe what he has said, that you're a sinner and that you need salvation, that you need to repent and trust in him. Bow your heart. You can bow in the context of love, grace, mercy, and kindness, or you can bow in the midst of his holy judgment and righteousness forever and ever. So then, the first reason that every knee would bow, and there's another reason here. It says in verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The confession is that Jesus Christ is Lord. The God who took on human flesh and lived the perfect life and died for our sins and rose from the dead, that God-man is the Lord. That every tongue should confess that he is Lord. He's Lord of all. The term confess isn't just your simple word for confess. It actually is an intensive form of it, which speaks of publicly declaring, openly and plainly confessing. It's a declaration. Now, right now, only the redeemed willingly confess Jesus as Lord. Some do it in a phony sense. There will be some who have said Jesus is Lord with their mouth, but they didn't believe it in their heart. They never were forgiven from their sins. They never submitted to him as Lord by repenting and trusting in him. And Jesus will say to them that day, when they say, Lord, Lord, he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. This speaks of a genuine confession of his lordship. He is God, I'm his creation, I'm going to obey him, I'm going to repent and believe and trust in him. To openly confess, every tongue, every human being ever created will openly confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It will happen. We see in chapter 10 of the book of Romans, turn there, that if we do so now, you can be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You see, if you believe in your heart that you're a sinner and that Jesus paid the penalty for you and he rose from the dead, and you confess him, you believe he's Lord, it's going to come out in your mouth. You declare it. You understand that in your heart, Jesus is the Lord. He says, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. It's all in the context of faith. Believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. There's tremendous glory ahead for those who call upon Jesus. Abounding in riches. Call upon him now. Humble yourself. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, you died for my sins. Save me. I read this earlier in Acts chapter 2. That he was highly exalted. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, the Lord says that this Jesus, God has made him both Lord and Christ. You know, it's interesting. Every time we see the gospel preached in the book of Acts, it has to do with Christ being Lord in that. Turn to Acts chapter 10. We saw it in Acts chapter 2. Turn to Acts chapter 10. That element is in there. God, the Lord of the universe, came and took on human flesh, and he died for your sins, and he rose from the dead, and he is supreme right now. And every knee will bow, and every tongue confess. You have heard it. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, this is the Apostle Peter speaking to the first Gentile converts that will be converted as they hear the gospel. And opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he has sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Now he'll go on to talk about the forgiveness of sins that's in Christ and they believe. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Will you do it willingly right now? Will you do it willingly? Because God loved you so much, he looked down in your horrible state and he was merciful to you. You're in a deep trouble if you haven't come to Christ. He's merciful. Lord, save me. I believe you're God who took on human flesh and died for me. Save me. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name,
that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And notice as we finish, there is a purpose: to the glory of the Father. You see, the exaltation of Christ to his proper place glorifies the Father. When every knee will bow and every tongue confesses Jesus as Lord, the Father's glorified. When we confess Jesus as Lord, the Father's glorified. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. Turn to Isaiah 42, verse 6. And you'll notice some passages that sound familiar, that the Lord Jesus spoke of when he preached the gospel concerning himself and the kingdom. Isaiah 42, verse 6. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring the prisoners out of the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from prison. I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. God will not give his glory to anyone else. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And this glorifies God the Father, to the glory of God the Father. So then, because of Jesus Christ emptying himself, not considering equality with God a thing to be grasped, held on to, taking the form of a bondservant, becoming a man like us, yet without sin, because of his humility, depending and obeying God's redemptive plan by going to the cross for us, being obedient to the point of death, because of that, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that the name that Jesus Christ possesses, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of the Father. What are the applications for us? They're pretty obvious, right? Well, maybe they're not. The passage says, have this attitude. That's the command, right? We're to think like Jesus, but we're not God. We didn't go to the cross. We're not going to be super exalted to the right hand in the place where every knee will bow. We're not going to do that. So what's the application? We're to have the mindset of Christ. And the mindset of Christ was obedient humility for being exalted at the proper time. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. You see, we're to humble ourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. James 4:10. 1 Peter 4:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Folks, if you humble yourself now, God will exalt you in eternity. And in that exaltation, you won't be glorified, but God will be glorified. You see, we should be looking forward to the glories to follow. It's the sufferings now, but the glories to follow. Set your mind on the things above, not the things of earth. The road up is down. There's the sufferings for the glories to follow. Trust in Christ. Surrender to him.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the few moments we have left in today's broadcast, help me apply this idea of bowing my knee to Christ in my everyday Christian experience.
Dave, probably the best way for me to explain this for you is this. To bow your knee to Christ is to obey him. It's as simple as that. If we obey him, we are bowing our knee to him. If we don't obey, no matter what we might say we believe or how we might feel about our faith, we're really just fooling ourselves. Obedience is the hallmark of a true believer, And embedded in all this is the reality that we serve a good and gracious God, and His commands are not burdensome, but rather obeying Him brings true joy and the satisfaction we all long to experience. It's through serving Him, obeying Him, the Lord, the great I Am, that we find significance and purpose for our daily living until He comes.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.